Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of March 15, 2024. This week we pray for the farmers and the care of their livestock and for our youth and families in faith and life. Our reading for our discussion is from Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 22. And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. In this season, we preach Christ crucified and remember Christ's journey to the cross to take away our sins. Even when we can see, sometimes it is difficult to put a finger on what drives society's problems and challenges. When it comes to solving society's problems, depending on who you ask, there are different opinions on what the actual problems are and differences in the ways to solve them. Looking through the lens of common sense, we can see that there are problems. This past week, I attended the police commission in Brownsburg, Indiana, as I was asked to give the invocation. Two majors in the police department were talking about some of the happenings in the community as it relates to policing issues. Without being able to mention additional details of the cases, there were brief reports about the happenings of the previous month. One situation involved youth experimenting with explosive devices. Another involved an armed man who was talking about taking his own life, and another involved an attempted homicide. An issue one of the majors spoke about was the fact that there has been an uptick in mental health issues the last few years. The issue has definitely driven up policing issues. People have been struggling. It's not just in the issues that need to be policed, but people seem to be struggling in so many ways across the board. I don't know how true this is, but it seems like years ago, communities were different. Neighbors seemed to communicate more with one another, perhaps as a result of political and social discourse. Trust between people everywhere seems to be an issue. It's hard to put a finger on why that is. Years ago, I delivered papers to the people in the neighborhoods around my home. I not only had to deliver the papers, but I went to personally collect from the people. In my opinion, it was an unpleasant job in so many ways, but mostly, interacting with the people was an overall positive. I got to know the many good folks in our neighborhoods, and it truly seemed like life was mostly harmonious among these folks. Today, in our world, in our culture, in our neighborhoods, things seem different. Maybe it's not every neighborhood. Perhaps it is that we live in a system that makes it more and more difficult for people to make ends meet, and a system which is not conducive to a better family structure. After all, going back to ancient times, the family was a base unit which was a building block of all society. My understanding is that Julius Caesar even recognized that. A podcaster named Dave, who produces a program called The X-22 Report, describes something which has actually been happening for years. Perhaps you've heard of a thing called the boiling frog phenomenon, living frog is put in the pot. As the temperature goes up, he will gradually get used to the water, and before he realizes it's too late, he will end up being boiled. In society, it used to be that one person in a household could stay home while the other person worked. Then it came to the point where two people working was acceptable. But now, it is people are working more and more. Some folks are even taking on extra jobs, but it is getting more and more difficult for people to make ends meet. What people may not have understood or realized is that over the years, the banking system has changed. It used to be that money was backed by gold, but now it is no longer pinned to gold. It is a fiat system. It is just pieces of paper to which we agree there will be a value, and that value is always changing. Credit has become more and more widely available. Inflation continually drives prices up. If you had buried an ounce of gold in the 1930s, you would have gotten $17.06 in 1931. By 1933, you would have gotten $26.33. By 1939, $34, $42. What is an ounce of gold worth in this day and age? If you had buried the same paper currency, assuming it was undamaged and you could still spend it, that same amount in dollars would still be between $17 and $35. As of this recording, the ounce of gold you would have buried in the 1930s would be worth around $2,250. Now, the values that I gathered came from NMA.org. It is according to Timothy Green's historical gold price table, and that has been converted into dollars. Inflation has made life much harder, much more difficult for people to make ends meet. The system in which we find ourselves is not helping us. It's certainly not helping mental health. The money isn't by any means the only problem. Taxation and legislation seem to make people's lives more and more complicated every day. If you did your taxes this year, there are so many lines, so many issues to cover, even in just trying to do your own taxes. It is more complicated than it would have to be. Yet, are the problems that we deal with just mundane worldly problems, or is there something that goes much deeper? On the level of our humanity, the problems of society do go deeper. They are related to the sinful human nature, which is self-centered and self-driven. Our struggles are deeper than money, government, family, philosophy, attitudes, mental health, all of it. There are spiritual things behind our life's troubles. The problems of society go all the way back to the fall. People believed they could live life apart from God. They believed they could be their own gods. The serpent presented them with a terrible bait and switch. He told them they would be like gods if they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He got them to think very short-sightedly. The consequence for their sin was death. The longer-term consequence was a fallen and broken creation. The problems of society and life find their roots in the fall and fallenness. The encounter on which we focus now is between a blind man and Jesus. When the blind man at Bethsaida encounters Jesus, it is because some people have brought him and are begging Jesus to touch him so that he can be healed. Jesus spit on the man's eyes and laid his hands on him. The Archaeology Study Bible points out that in the ancient world, saliva was considered a healing agent. Whereas no one else's saliva was going to heal the man's eyes, this is part of the means Jesus chooses to use to heal the man. The Lord of life, he can use what means he will, much like the Father at the creation breathed into dust, and made it to live. When Jesus asked if the man saw anything, the man said, I see people, but they look like trees walking. The notes here suggest that the reason the man knew what trees looked like is perhaps because he developed this condition of blindness over the years, that he wasn't born blind. Again, from the Archaeology Study Bible. Jesus lays his hands on the man again, and now he sees clearly. The man now sees as he is supposed to see. It is amazing what can be done to correct eyesight today. Every person's perception is different in regard to the eyes. People may not only have different visual acuity, but they may even see colors differently. An eye doctor can use various lenses to diagnose exactly how a person's vision needs to be corrected. Of course, much of that correction actually has to come from the patient. The patient says yay or nay that a lens works better than another lens. This man gave his input as to what was going on with his vision, and Jesus corrected it miraculously. Isaiah had prophesied that the deaf would hear and the blind would see, Isaiah chapter 29, verse 18. This, of course, was to be fulfilled by the Christ. So then we look at how John had asked Jesus if he was the one who had been prophesied hundreds and yes, thousands of years before. Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 2. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent words by his disciples and said to him, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked his disciples, Who do people say that I am? Peter answered, You are the Christ. And Jesus told him not to tell anyone about this. This was because it was not at this point his time to go to the cross yet. That was yet to come. In the early days of the world, the man and the woman lived in a pleasant and beautiful garden, a vision of a perfect world. What exactly do you think the perfect world would look like? What is your vision of that? What would that be to you? I think that a lot of folks' vision of what perfection ought to be could be a real mess, a perfect mess. We've dealt with that in society. The things that are making life so hard for people to live are some people's vision of what the perfect society should be. And as we continue down the path of utopia, as man makes it, it always seems to get harder and harder and worse and worse. We find that we are on the wrong track, going in the wrong direction. And we find ourselves getting further and further from the beauty and serenity in the Garden of Eden. What is the biggest thing that is missing? Our connection with God. Sin at the fall separated us from God. But in Christ Jesus, something new has come. God has come to heal the creation. At first, he does it through small ways, through miracles, and through his life and his example. But he came to do much more than that. He came to free us from sin and death by dying on the cross. And what is imperfect now, when the time comes in Christ, will be restored to completeness and wholeness and perfection. Not the kind that humans make and seek, but the kind that God has in mind. Even our perfect vision really is not going to live up to what God created and to what God had in mind. I can only imagine that when God restores the creation, we will see plenty of things we were never able to see before. When you think of an eagle, it is my understanding that they can see things clearly from miles away. When Christ makes all things new, we may see details and even richness of color we've never seen before. And Christ will make everything new. We trust in him. In Christ, we will see God's full intentions, a big improvement over the world we've created. Will you pray with me? Lord Heavenly Father, as I look at the world and even at my own life, I realize that there are troubles that are the result of fallenness and sin. Heavenly Father, you are above all these things, and I ask that you help us to know your best designs, to make the best of our struggles and our fallen situations in this life. In Jesus' name, I pray it. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord, Heavenly Father, as we go through this spring, help us as we prepare the fields for growth. Watch over the animals of the farms and fields, even as we seek to care for them. We ask that you would provide the necessary rains, fertile soil, good sun and weather that will be helpful for the growth of crops. Give us a good harvest in life. And Lord, we pray also that you will bring a good harvest in faith. Be with families everywhere and help them to seek you first in faith and life. Care for them according to their needs. In our young people, we pray that you will cultivate love for you, for your ways, and faithfulness. Help us through the dark, difficult, and dangerous world. And when all is done, you seek for us. When all has been accomplished, bring us at last to the place you have prepared for us. In Jesus' holy name we pray it. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verses this week come from Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 27. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist." And others say, "Elijah." And others, one of the prophets. And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. All of our verses, all of our scriptures come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. In my life my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. Is my life my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. Is my life's, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation.